Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, a very happy Friday. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. On May the 8th, coming up, a dangerous driver who led police on a 20-minute chase has been jailed.
Entered Croydon 60 in a 30, DRA medium due to speed, light vehicle traffic, light pedestrians.
A man who lost both of his parents to brain tumours reveals how they've inspired his career.
You don't get over it. You know, it is with you forever. And that's what I think a lot of people try and get over it. Whereas that's where you just accept it. You accept that's the position you're in and you focus on the small steps to get to the life in which you want.
And events are taking place in Kent to mark David Attenborough's 100th birthday.
We wanted to do something that was going to honour all of his work. So we've decided that we are going to plant a tree. The students are going to plant a tree, which will be here forever so that we can then use it in our lessons going forwards. And we're also going to do loads of activities in our lessons throughout the day.
But first, on today's episode, a man who'd been living off-grid in North Kent for more than 30 years says he feels absolutely dead after his property was destroyed. Bob Thwaites had called a caravan on Swanscombe Peninsula home since 1991, but the structure and everything inside has been levelled to the ground by the landowners of the site. 78-year-old Bob has described the scene to us.
I got down here as quick as I could, and when I got here, everything had gone. My home, everything. All my medicines, all my memorabilia, 35 years of, you know, if you can imagine someone doing that to your home, my home's no different than anybody else's. It was a home. And two wardrobes full of clothes. Just everything. All my tools, I can't find half my tools. I haven't got the key to my car, that's all gone. My son's pictures of my son. When he was, he died 9 years ago. But when he passed out on the police thing, pictures of that they're somewhere, I don't know. And then last night I heard that they're going to come back again. So I didn't leave here till 11 o'clock last night, and I was carrying stuff I shouldn't be carrying, really, to get it out of the way. And then I went and stayed at my partner's house, and I got back down here at 5 o'clock this morning before they could get down here, because, you know, when the police came down, I said to them that, you know, I don't like violence, but if you're not here, there will be violence because I'm not going to let them do it.
Sophie is Bob's granddaughter. She's been speaking to Finn from our colleagues at KMTV.
Last night we came down and it was just sadness, really. His whole life has gone. Last night we tried to salvage pictures and memories of my late uncle. That was all over the caravan, even as simple as his clothes. He has clothes in there that he needs to wear, and that's all under a load of woods and just everything. It's just disgusting.
And, you know, tell me a bit about the scale of it, because he's lived here for 30 years, obviously. Did you say you only ever knew him to be living here? Tell me a bit about that.
My whole life he's lived here. My whole life. I mean, we used to camp up here. We had all the family come up and, you know, make memories up here. It's a beautiful place. And yeah, they've just totally demolished all the memories. And yeah, it's heartbreaking, really.
Tell me a bit about what you're doing on the ground here today.
So again, today we're just trying to salvage what we can. Anything, jewellery, pictures, clothes, you know, anything we find, we'll try and keep. Even his tools. Paint, it's so silly things, but it's such a big thing for him.
Now, bosses of Land Logical say the clearance was nothing new or unexpected and should have happened months ago. They've told us Mr. Thwaites had no occupational right on the site for any form of residency on the land, adding that as landowners, they've done everything in the right way. Now, clearance of the site is currently ongoing, and we're told the plan is for the company to work with the Ebbsfleet Development Corporation for a social use over the whole peninsula. You can see pictures of what's left at the site by heading to the Gravesend pages of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and a man who stabbed a stranger in an unprovoked attack in Ashford has been locked up for 10 years. The victim was rushed to hospital with leg injuries after it happened in Hardinge Street last July. His phone, car keys and cash were also stolen. This is the moment Amar Bostan, who's 27 and from Haringey in London, was arrested by armed officers on the M20.
Oh, police, show me your eyes! Stop the car now! Stop it now! Stop the vehicle! Keep your eyes up! Do not move! Oh, police! Exit the vehicle now!
Passenger, step away from the door. Stop. What I'm going to ask you to do is walk towards me. You're going to kneel and face my bonnet. Do you understand? Do it now. Right, stop. Face the bonnet. Go in front of the bonnet of the vehicle. Get down onto your knees.
Subject secure!
Stand up. What's your name, please? Sorry?
I'm Mark.
A Dartford man's become the first person to be convicted under new sex-based harassment laws. David Stroud grabbed a woman's hair and asked to kiss her as she travelled on a train from Hastings to London in April. The 44-year-old admitted the offence. The British Transport Police says it sends a clear warning. Harassment on public transport won't be tolerated. A Kent woman is recovering in hospital after being left unconscious on the side of a road following a hit-and-run in Thailand. Chloe Foster was a passenger on a motorbike that was involved in a crash, but the driver didn't stay or call for help. The 26-year-old from Rochester suffered a broken foot, fractures to her face and bruising, and is now raising money to cover medical bills. Next, and a dangerous driver who led police on a 20-minute chase after refusing to stop in Edenbridge has been jailed. Sam Walker was spotted acting suspiciously on Mount St Agan Way last month. His blue Ford KA was followed all the way into South London. Police footage shows him driving through red lights and reaching speeds of up to 60 miles per hour on residential streets.
They've entered Croydon 60 in a 30, DRA medium due to speed. Light vehicle traffic, light pedestrians.
We are out to everyone hailing.
New Charlie 50 received. Overtaking members of the public on the central part of the road. No danger caused. Safe to continue. 48 in a 30. DRA now low. Change 47 in a 30. Go for a red ATS. Temporary high. No danger caused. Safe to continue. Crossing the Shell Garage, the offside.
Down the clock. Give me a kick. Yeah. Under arrest of failing to stop, you don't have to say anything, but it may harm your defence. Don't mention in question something you later rely on in court. Anything you do say may be given in evidence, all right?
The 23-year-old from Worthington Street in Dover tested positive for cannabis and has been locked up for a year. And 11 people have appeared in court after violence broke out at a funfair in Medway. Metal barriers and other items were thrown at staff during the event at Lordswood Leisure Centre last September. One woman, a man and 9 children have been charged with a fray. 5 teenagers pleaded guilty, but the rest have denied the accusation.
Kent Online reports.
Next on today's episode, and the chief executive of South East Water has resigned. David Hinton has been under fire since water outages affected thousands of customers in Kent before and after the new year. Lucy has more for the podcast.
Today's news comes just a week after the group's chairman also quit after an influential group of MPs said they had no confidence in the company's leadership. Residents and businesses in Tunbridge Wells were hit by major supply problems just weeks before Christmas following a fault at Pembury Treatment Works. Further issues in January were blamed on freezing temperatures damaging pipes along with Storm Goretti. We're told Mr. Hinton will remain in post over the summer while the board finds a replacement.
A Deal woman's been convicted after her ex-boyfriend's dogs escaped from a garden and later killed another dog. Faye Waters admitted she may have left a gate to her former partner's home unsecured while collecting belongings in March last year. The 28-year-old from Mundrum Road in Great Mundrum has been told to pay compensation and handed a six-month conditional discharge. The owners of a takeaway in Sheerness have been fined after inspectors found an infestation of mice and a risk of contamination. They visited Masala Reef on Hope Street several times over the past 2 years. Bosses were taken to court after failing to fix serious issues. They've been told to pay £15,000 in fines and costs. A farm near Canterbury that's said to have sustained a village for 1,000 years has been put up for sale. Addisham Court Farm covers 600 acres and includes a 17th century farmhouse, a separate cottage and agricultural buildings. It's been owned by the Church of England since the time of Henry VIII and is on the market for £9 million. Elsewhere, traders in Ashford are worried that roadworks for gas repairs could lead to a drop in footfall. Somerset Road is closed in both directions at the moment between New Street and North Street, with diversions along Elwick Road and Canterbury Road. It's caused congestion heading towards the town centre. SGN say they understand the frustration but insist the work is essential. Now, a Faversham man who lost both of his parents to brain tumours has revealed how it's now inspired his career. Ollie Payne's dad passed away when he was just 7, and his mum died 5 weeks after being diagnosed 10 years later. Now, the 28-year-old admits he lost his way before working with people with brain injuries while completing a master's degree. Ollie has been sharing his story.
I've knew from when I was born that my dad was going to pass away at some point. He had a brain tumour. He got it before I was born. Said he was going to have a year to live, and he ended up living for 13 years. And when he got diagnosed, him and my mum were very much, we need to make life happen. We need to, we want to have a family. So they had my older brother, Monty. And then they had me and my two triplet brothers. That's how it all started. We knew he was going to pass away in our lives. And that wasn't sugarcoated for us. We were told that, and we knew, we understood from a young age that was going to happen. And then when he passed away, when I was seven, eight, we were raised by my mum. My mum met my stepdad, lovely bloke. And we get on really well, we have a good laugh. And then when I was 17, me and my mum were really, really close, and we got through the trauma. And then it happened to my mum. So she lasted 5 weeks with her brain tumour. Very quick battle. It's quite aggressive. She sort of changes a person. I lost it, like, because she was my absolute world. I lost my place. Didn't feel like I had a place. Lost my meaning. It went downhill almost immediately. Lost my way. So rebuilding after that is sort of my focus now. Like, I sort of come through that, and I realised a point of awareness where I needed to crack on, and I needed to make them proud. I needed to crack on my life. I wasn't going to lose my path in life. So I accepted the position I was in. This is what's happened. Nothing's going to change it. But how do I create a path in a life in which I'm going to really value, I'm going to wake up every day and love. And that was helping people who've gone through trauma, helping them rebuild their lives similar to how I've done it, through discipline, through structure. But I think most importantly, it's not about, you don't get over it. It is with you forever. And that's what I think a lot of people try and get over it. Whereas that's where you just accept it. You accept that's the position you're in, and you focus on the small steps to get to the life in which you want. That's where I am today.
Tell me a bit about the work that you're doing now and how fulfilling you are finding that after you've gone on this journey, you've found the path you want to be on. How is it helping you to help others, I guess, as well?
Yeah, so I think that's the point in which I'm at. Like, I want to share this a bit more, like what I'm doing and how, because I then from doing the psychology degree, which was my escape, I moved as far away as I could, because I really had a bad place where I was staying. It was full of bad memories for me at that time. Did the psychology degree, finished it, got very interested in the brain and everything that happened about personality, everything like that, personality change, behavior change. When did the neuroscience masters, the cognitive neuroscience masters at Sussex. And whilst I was doing that to fund it, I got a job as a brain injury support worker. So I was helping people through rehabilitation. So I was with people 12 hours a day, working through their rehab, supporting them. And through that, I had a passion. That was like the education's cool because you learn the theory behind it. But through working with people every day and showing up for them and being their person, that really resonated with me with what happened with my mum, what happened with my dad, and like how people can change and they have trauma happen to them like that. And this is who they are. And I got this other side of it of before I was a family member, whereas now I'm actually working with them and helping them. And that's been the biggest reward so far of my life. Like actually being a part of their lives through their rehab and their injury and being the person to that they rely on and that you can, because I'm passionate about it, you know I can help people. And then I got to a point where I wanted to do more with it. At that point when I was supporting, I wasn't in control of what I was doing. I could do it in my own way, but I was being told what to do by professionals. So I made the business. There wasn't a business in it. I made it. I was good with working with people with brain injury. And so I did the personal training qualification. And personal trainers out there now who I have had clients who have had personal trainers, they don't get brain injury. It's not something they're about, and they're not specialists in it. So I thought I'd combine the two, make the business, and I feel completely blessed that every week I can help 20 people a week. I have the weekly sessions. They love the sessions. It's like a big part of their week. They enjoy them, which is the main thing for me. It gives them a bit of reprieve from life, and they're working on stuff. They're working towards things, and I can get in my own experience with how I've rebuilt myself into the program. So it's a very unique experience. But I think now also, with that being so rewarding for me, I'm also on a different journey now as well with trying to educate and help people online around discipline, structure, habit change, things that have helped me, things that have helped my clients because I see it work. And it's so rewarding when I get people message about it and say how it's helped them, or if I have a client in a week and they say how they love the session and how it's changed their lives. And it's just, yeah, I mean, my mum would be incredibly proud of that because she had a soft spot for people with extra needs. So yeah.
Kent Online reports.
It's feared a new primary school, which is planned to be built near Tunbridge, could cause local village schools to shut down. Kent County Council wants to open a one form entry school in Paddock Wood in September 2028 to keep up with demand from nearby housing developments. Simon Webb, who's a local school governor, says the birth rate is currently falling, though, meaning there might not be a need for all that extra provision. The owner of a fast food restaurant in Gravesend has been given permission to open until the early hours of the morning. Chicken World on Queen Street applied to trade until 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Kent Police, however, objected to that later time, saying it could lead to crime and antisocial behaviour. So a council panel agreed to 1 a.m. trading every day. Elsewhere, plans for a Burger King and Costa drive-through in Folkestone have been given the go-ahead. They'll be built on the site of the old Silver Springs Mineral Water Company at the Park Farm Industrial Estate. And Aldi is also going there, and the development's expected to create 250 jobs. Events are being held in Kent today to mark David Attenborough's 100th birthday. The broadcaster has worked on more than 100 nature documentaries during his career, which spans across 8 decades. Pupils near Ashford are among those celebrating. Lucy has been chatting to Becky Bennett, who's head of geography at Homewood School in Tenterden.
We wanted to do something that was going to honour all of his work, so we've decided that we are going to plant a tree. The students are going to plant a tree, which will be here forever so that we can then use it in our lessons going forwards. And we're also going to do loads of activities in our lessons throughout the day.
That's great. What kind of tree is it, and where will it be exactly within the school? I mean, is it in a specific place people could kind of go to and see it, all the students?
It's an oak tree, I believe, and it's going in our community garden, which is being developed for all the community. So there's lots of new plants there. There's like a nice bench and archway, so the students will be able to enjoy it for a very, very long time.
That's amazing. How important is David Attenborough to the UK and the world in kind of raising this awareness of nature and wildlife and the planet?
I think he's really important. He does it in a way that's really accessible to the students. He raises issues like with plastic. The students can watch on his programs. They can see it for themselves, and it really, really enthuses them and engages them to actually make a difference. I think every student that we speak to in school knows who David Attenborough is. We've got a huge cardboard cutout of him in the department. So he's like a sort of an honorary geographer with us here as well. And he gets kids talking, and I think that's really, really important, is actually he just raises the issue. The students want to learn about it and they want to do something about it. So I think he has just brought sort of all of those issues to light.
Yeah, I think you're right. He does kind of transcend all the generations, doesn't he? And he's got such an iconic voice. You just know when a nature program's narrated by David Attenborough. I mean, is that something you find of your pupils as well, that he is just a bit of a living legend?
He is a complete living legend. We actually take the cardboard cutout around with us on open evenings, and people can have their selfies taken. So he's definitely got legend status, I would say. And the students love it when we do any clips from anything he's done. Yeah, it really engages them.
So other than the planting of the tree, what other activities are you going to be doing on Friday?
So we are going to be watching some of the clips that he's produced all over his career. The students are going to research his life. They're going to have a look at his different projects that he's done, and they're going to produce some work on that, which we can then display around the school.
Some of the students have also been giving us their opinion. Lucy's been speaking to Jan, Maisie, Tilly, Magda and Kitty.
How would you describe David Attenborough, and what does he mean for you guys?
He's a good inspiration to young people to want to act in order to help the natural world. And it's good that he's so easily accessible on lots of different like TV platforms and things.
I think he really raises awareness for some of the problems on like climate change and that kind of stuff. And like they said, it's like easily watchable, and it's quite a nice thing to watch, I think. I watch it in my house, and it's just quite a nice thing to put on after you've got home from school, I guess.
Yeah, and he's been doing this such a long time. But for you guys, I mean, have you kind of grown up watching his programmes, and it is his iconic voice as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you can kind of tell when it's him. He's just like quite a calming character, and I think that shows what kind of nature means to him.
I think he's also incredibly important because he shows us places in the world we might never see. Because, you know, you're not going to go everywhere in our lives, but we get to see that through him.
I think that what he's showing to us is like how we can, for future generations, we can like do something about it right in the moment, so that we can like live with nature, work alongside it.
Yeah, he's a real champion for that sort of balance, isn't he? I know he's been to a lot of exotic places, but he also does a lot about British wildlife as well.
Yeah, he's just started the new series of like the garden wildlife, and it kind of shows what we can find in our garden and all about like the hedgehogs and stuff.
And are you guys all looking forward to Friday, to planting the tree and doing all those activities?
Yeah.
And what do you think it will mean for you, sort of seeing that tree, walking past it every day and having a little think about David Attenborough and what he's done?
I think it kind of makes us kind of think that we need to like start talking about it more, and about climate change and what we can do to slow the change down.
It's a nice daily reminder to all the students to be doing the right thing for the environment.
And I think because of course you're planting a tree, it will be there for many years in the future. So like even when you've left school, it'll be there, and like future students will be able to see it, and you'll be like, I planted that, and it'll make you think of him whenever you walk past it.
I just think he's just like a really good character, and he's like a good like role model to grow up around.
Hope you all have a fantastic day. Bosses in Medway say 82,000 people visited Rochester for this year's Sweeps Festival. That's the highest number in the past 10 years of the event over the May bank holiday weekend. And two Kent towns have been named among the best seaside spots to visit in the UK. Time Out magazine have published their annual list. Folkestone is fourth, with Whitstable coming in 14th.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket first up, and Kent will be hoping to build on their first win of the season as they travel to take on Gloucestershire. The trip to Bristol comes after a 225-run victory over Derbyshire in the county championship at Canterbury last week. On to football now, and Maidstone United goalkeepers Lenny Holden and George Fowler have signed new deals at the club. 20-year-old Holden says he's buzzing to be staying for another season, while Fowler, who's 28, has revealed there's a great feeling around the place heading into the new campaign. And staying with football, Ben Greenhalgh has been named as the new manager of Dartford. He replaces Adie Pennock, who left at the end of the season to join Ramsgate. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can also subscribe to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. Whilst you're on the website today, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker and head to the What's On pages for details of everything going on across Kent over the weekend. We'll be back with a podcast on Monday.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.